E1, number 15A.
So we can see that if we follow our criterion, namely to put the ideas back into its principle, but then naturally there is no more creative ability, no more creative impulsion, so life doesn't come into focus here. And all what we can see is on the truth, really, that all truths, small t, or all facts, whatever we may call them, or every positive problem. See, everything that needs a solution is already, since time immemorial, a truth which exists in perfection. So that you have all truths, they exist in perfection. Or that all facts exist in, say, completion, or all facts are complete. That every positive problem is already solved or fulfilled. Can you hear the tone, huh? See, it's that question. It's a very wonderful law. I use it in practice, in my life practice, so often. It's a terrific law, which says, look here, old boy, there is nothing new coming into your life. There is no proposition coming into your life, no problem coming into your life which you can't handle, because you don't know how to handle it. Because whatever comes into your life is nothing new. It's an idea, it's a fact that is already complete. Do you have that? Yes. A fact that is already complete. Huh? Truth, love. A fact, truth, complete, love. So that we begin to realize that everything in being, every specific idea in being, every specific positive problem in being, everything that has to be done, every task that approaches you to be done, has already its complete answer. You can say in truth, the work, and in love, is done. Huh? That's another rendering of truth and love. The work, truth, is done. Yeah. Therefore, from now on, you see, you are in a rather bad situation. You are really cornered now. Because now you can't say anymore, I can't do that. I have not enough capabilities and faculties and abilities to do this and that. I don't know how to do it. Because the law says the work is done. The fact is complete. The problem is solved. And all what you have to do is to accept this law. This law, which we could say is the law of the pre-established solution. Huh? The pre-established perfection. That's the law here. It isn't the law to bring out a new discovery. It's the law that says everything is already a fact and a solved fact in being. Therefore, it is only a question of spiritual realization, within one's consciousness of truth and love, where we begin to see that the whole ideal of being, you could also put here in under truth the ideal, the whole ideal of being, it's really the whole ideal, the whole ideal of being, is complete, or is, complete. And you begin to work out from that fact. You don't begin to work out, now I have to demonstrate that I have this ability and that ability and this opportunity and how to go about this and that and the other. Now it is completely different. You know that which is apparently, or which has apparently to come into focus and into existence, is already existing as an ideal that is complete. And therefore, what we have to do is to see what is this ideal which is complete. And why this ideal is complete. Again, like we had it before in the level of... We had it before in Christianity with life and love. We said, well, we do not just rest there where we say life provides or life brings abundance and floods the realm of ideas and then say, but what is that flood? Of what does that flood constitute? Of what does it constitute? And you say, well, it's the flood of all the ideas of mind, all the ideas of spirit, all the ideas of soul and principle, life, truth and love. Here, again, you can see that's what we do in practice. Say, if something comes along as a new task for me or as a new opportunity, or I have to do something which I have never done and which I feel, well, I tread on new ground, that the thought comes and says, no, you are not treading on new ground. The idea is established and fulfilled. It's no new ground. It's not the Word. It's not the Christ. It's not Christianity. Now it's science. And you are not treading on new ground. You are in truth and love. And so you can take truth and see, yes, this very situation, whatever it is, that task, whatever has to be done, the work to be done, is really, and then you can go through all the seven and can say, is really mind conceived, not humanly mind conceived. It's spirit evolved. I don't have to evolve it. It's soul identified. I don't have to see its definition and identity. It's principle demonstrated. I don't have to demonstrate it. It's life exalted. I don't have to lift up a situation. It's truth conscious. I don't have to make it conscious. It's love planned. I don't have to plan it out. Can you see, every time, you touch these laws, they are so fundamental that they are just stated in the most economical way possible, with the least terms, with the least elements possible. If it is stated in truth and love, we mean with truth that it is the truth of mind and of spirit and of soul and of principle and of life and truth and love. That's the expansion you have. That's why these laws are not so simple or so, can you say simple? They don't get very complicated. No, you don't get into a rut with them. Huh? You never get into a rut with them just because they are stated in a few elements of the law. Because they mean something terrifically big, infinitely flexible. The moment you can see how to handle and to interlace these laws. The law as it stands here is just truth and love, just the realization. You know what Kimball always said when he was talking about these things? He said, if Adam had known enough, he could have had a piano. Well, he could have had, say, a computer. He could have had anything if he had known enough. Meaning, what he wanted to bring out, meaning that the idea that lies behind a piano is not something that belongs to our age, but that it is eternal, timeless idea. And it's just a matter of realizing what this idea involves. That's what he wanted to bring out with that remark, which really did stick in the minds of the student, that everything that seems to be a discovery has always existed. Therefore, everything which seems to be new to us and a new task to be fulfilled, a new challenge which we have to handle, that they are actually not new. They are old things because they are timeless. They are ideas, and ideas are spaceless and timeless, and therefore existed since time immemorial in its principle. And naturally, it's a terrific help for consciousness if you are faced with such a situation that you just sit down very quietly, very happily, say, okay, that's fine. Here I'm faced with a situation. I don't know the answer humanly, and I don't need to know the answer humanly. But what I do need to understand is the divine standpoint, the divine consciousness. And the law of that divine consciousness tells me that it is a matter of truth and love in absolute Christian Science. Namely, that all ideas exist as facts already in truth and are complete in love. Nothing has to be made complete and to be fulfilled. And so you sit down and you feel at rest and feel, okay, then this idea that exists since ever, is an idea of mind. It's mind conceived. It's mind manifested. It's mind created. This idea that consists are spirit evolved, spirit ordered. They are soul identified, soul defined. I don't need to define it. They are principle systematized. I don't have to systematize this problem. The principle will systematize it. They are really life eternalized or life expressed. I don't have to express them. They are truth affirmed. I don't have to affirm it by myself through arguments and arguments and arguments. And so you can see they are really love planned, for instance. Huh? They are, you could also say, they are love fulfilled. We don't have to go and fulfill them and to make them perfect. Yeah. So this is the law of science, in absolute Christian Science, and therefore really gives a sense of that everything exists in the pre-stabilized realm of truth. That every idea exists in a form, has a pre-stabilized form,
in the realm of reality. Well, these are the law of absolute Christian Science, and so tomorrow I think we can go over the next level. Now it becomes more and more interlaced when we come to the level of Christian Science, because then the basis of the pyramid becomes broader and broader and broader, and becomes broader because we can see more and more categories that are involved. Okay. Now today we start with the level of Christian Science. And so we have to ask ourselves always first, what is the pedal note of Christian Science? And when we have that, then we can see how the word, the Christ and Christianity and Science interject with that level of Christian Science. Now, the criteria for the level of Christian Science are, and you know, namely the relationship between truth and error, and between the divine and the human. This is the great question which now makes Christian Science, so to say, practical in the material and human experience. Because now we come to that important relationship. How does the divine, that does not know anything but the divine, how does that divine affect the human? Or how does truth, which only knows truth and does not know error, how does that correct error? These are always the great questions which seem to be paradoxical, that truth that does not know error can have an impact on error, and that the divine that does not know the human can have an impact on the human. These are now the great questions which are here under consideration. And so through four aspects, like the Word, Christ, Christianity and Science, these questions are under consideration. Each side of the city will deal with this very question every time in a different way. And so to see in which way they deal differently is really the most important thing. Therefore, to ask the right questions is the most important thing. If we can ask the right question in every one of those four sides, then the answer is much easier. So we will see that in each side we know now that the question between truth and error, between the divine and the human, has to be shown forth. And now if we start with the Word in Christian Science, we must naturally ask in which way does the Word deal with that relationship of truth and error, of divine and the human. And so we can say the Word has always to do with the statement of being. We know that the Word is that which states the nature of God. It's that which gives a presentation of the nature of God. It's that which presents really to consciousness the nature of God. You really write a lot. Yes. Yes, that's what I have to do, to say it a little different each time, so as to repeat it, and not yet to repeat it in the same words, but in the same tone. Huh? So, see, with the word, really, you have the presentation of the nature of God. Now, if the level of Christian Science has to do with that presentation of God in relation of the divine and the human, then we can see that that presentation must be a presentation that is applicable to the divine consciousness and to the human perception. That's all there is. That's the word, the logos, the statement of being. Therefore, the statement of being from the divine standpoint and the statement of being to the human standpoint. Or if we take the other relationship of truth and error, must be a statement of the standpoint of the true nature of God, and therefore also a statement of the wrong concept about the nature of God. So it's all turning around the question of how to perceive the nature of God, either from a divine standpoint or from a human standpoint. So what we can do is therefore to see that we have to have at least those great categories within the word, namely a statement of God, what God is. That's the divine standpoint. And we must have a category of the human standpoint, how humanly the nature of God appears to us. And actually, third, always, how we can see the counterfeit or the wrong aspect of God, or what is the wrong aspect of God, or in other words, what wrong aspect of God is annihilated when the true aspect of God is seen. So we would have, before we draw any diagram, we would have to see at least three categories, namely the divine presentation of the word, second, the human perception of the word, and third, the annihilation of a wrong aspect of the word. Now, with these three categories, we could get quite a long way. But last year we ventured in seeing that actually we have to see more than just these three categories, that we have to introduce other categories, you remember, namely, if the word is a statement of the nature of being, then this statement of the nature of being can be viewed, because it is the word, and the word is the perception of it, must be viewed objectively and subjectively. The viewing and the perception of the nature of God is subjective when you view, and it is objective when you view it and recognize the nature of God. And naturally we can see that in the one being, that the objective and the subjective must be one in nature, that they cannot be different in nature. Therefore, we have seen that we actually should make further categories, namely that we should see how divinely subjective the nature of God presents itself, then how objectively the nature of God presents itself, namely that what God thinks about himself objectively. But also when we take the human standpoint, we must see that the human standpoint must have a true objective standpoint, must be seen truly, humanly, objective as the reality, as divine comes to us, so that we can perceive it. Then we have the relationship of the divine to the human. The moment we can state how the divine, the objective, appears to the human as objective, then we have the identity of the divine and the human standpoint. And then naturally we have to do a second step. We have to take in the presentation of being and make it humanly subjective, so that we also are one with the divine. And in this way we can see that the relationship of the divine to the human is a relationship that takes place in consciousness by humanly assimilating and accepting that which is divinely objective. Of course, that seems to be very involved. So what we are going to do is that we start right over again, but put it down on paper.